Well, this morning, I'm going to begin a brand new series for the summer. Are you ready for that? All right. For the next several weeks during this summer, we're going to look at the attributes of God. In other words, we're going to address the question, who is God? And what is God like? Church, we need to get to know God. Now, this is an important study because we live in a society and a culture that talks a lot about God or gods, but they don't know really who He is. And unfortunately, if we're not careful, we have a tendency to create God in our image instead of the other way around. God wants us to be in His image. God wants to change us, but that means we need to get to know Him. We need to see God as He is so that God can hold the position in our lives that He deserves to hold. We need to study the character of God because it will be the greatest pursuit of your lifetime. There is nothing we need more than to know God, to know Him intimately, to know Him personally. Listen to what the prophet Jeremiah wrote in the Old Testament in Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. In the New Testament, John the disciple in 1 John 4, 7 and 8 writes something to us. We used to sing a chorus with it. Beloved, let us love one another. How many remember that chorus? Yeah. How many have never heard that in your entire life? How many of you at least know the scripture? All right. You've got a long ways to go this summer. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Dear friends, it says, let us love one another. Now, I'm going to read it slow, not just because I'm Southern, because I want you to get it, okay? Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Listen. Everyone who loves has been born of God, and say this, and knows God. Listen to this. Whoever does not love does not, what? Know God. Because God is love. Heavenly Father, as we go on this adventure of getting to know You, Lord, may it be the greatest adventure of our life. And Lord, I pray that You would teach us, You would show us who You are. For Lord, You long to know Yourself. And Lord, we long now to know You. In Jesus' name, help us, I pray. Amen. Now, there is nothing more important or more valuable in your life than knowing God. There's no knowledge that is more significant than this. And when we first come to God and we're born again, what we talk about, believing in Him, we believe in Him and then His love begins to flow through us. But because of His love flowing out of us and through us, we also desperately need to get to know God. According to 1 John 4, 7 and 8, it says that we're born of God and we also know God. Knowing God gives us the strength that we need in our life. Knowing God gives us direction and focus as we live for Him. Now, as we walk through this study and the attributes of God, I need you to be aware of two things. Number one, it is impossible for human words to adequately describe the one who is greater than our ability to comprehend. You understand that. I do not have great words that you will go, whoa, that's who he is. He is beyond our comprehension. But even though we cannot fully describe God, it doesn't mean that the study isn't profitable. Throughout these weeks, we have to remember, though, that God is bigger than our ability to understand him. But attempting to get to know him more will move us, though, in the right direction. Amen? All right. Secondly, it is also difficult to fully know or identify every attribute of God. I will only be able to cover a few of the attributes. So my goal over this summer is to introduce to you just some of the attributes of God. I can't cover them all. I don't even know them all. Now, my desire is that you and I, by the end of the summer, will become so fascinated with the character and the person of God Almighty that we will devote the rest of our lives to getting to know him better. Amen? Now, this morning I want to begin, though, with it's a trio of words that we'll start with over the next few weeks as we attempt to describe God. The words in themselves are not a complete description of God, but it's a good beginning. Each of them starts with the prefix of omni. Omni means all or universal. Each of the omni words refer to an all-encompassing or universal attribute of God that is all, okay? The first one is simply omnipresence. You know that word. Notice the word presence in it, meaning that God is present everywhere. He is all present, universally present. Another word that we're going to look at is omniscience. Notice the word science in that, meaning that God is all-knowing. He knows everything. And then the third one is omnipotence. Notice the word potent in there, or powerful, meaning God is all-powerful. Now this morning, I want to just look at the very first one of these. It's God's omnipresence, which means that God is present everywhere. Now, let me read what God says through Jeremiah from the New Living Translation in chapter 23. This is what God says. Am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord? No, I am far away at the same time. Can anyone hide from me in a secret place? Am I not everywhere in all the heavens and earth, says the Lord? In Psalm 139, David writes these words, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to the heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. In Matthew 28, Jesus tells us these words. He says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you and be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God's omnipresence means that God is present in all places at all times. There is no place where God is not. God holds everything together. In fact, things are held together in him because he is present everywhere. God is not only present in all places, but he is in every circumstance. Now, to get our minds around this, we have to understand something, and that is that God is spirit. In fact, John 4:24, Jesus tells us God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. We as the people of God who worship Him in spirit have to understand that God is present everywhere because He is spirit. He's not confined to the three-dimensional existence that we live in. God is infinite. It means He has no beginning. He has no end. God is not limited by human thought or human experience or human reasoning. Today, though, what I don't want to do is just talk about omnipresence. I want to give four practical reasons why God's omnipresence is important to us. So understanding it is one thing. I could just read scripture about it, but what does it mean to us? Number one, it means this. You are not alone. Say that together. You are, say, I am not alone. If God is present everywhere, it means that He is present where you are. God is with you. Do you remember the story of Jonah from the Old Testament? How many remember the story? God called this prophet to go and preach a message of repentance to a place called Nineveh, to the people there. And Nineveh was a wicked town, and Jonah just didn't want these people to be saved. That's really the bottom line. Because he knows that if he goes, God's going to save them. But Jonah doesn't want that to happen. So Jonah takes his money and books a trip on a boat going in the opposite direction. So Jonah tries to flee from God's presence. Well, suddenly on this boat, a storm rises up when he's out at sea, and the men on the boat all of a sudden are scared, and they believe that the gods somehow are upset with us. And that came from their pagan background because they didn't know the one true God. Of course, we learned that the one true God who is everywhere is trying to get Jonah's attention. So God uses this storm to get the attention of the crew, to get the attention of Jonah. After much discussion on the boat and praying, they determined that Jonah was the problem and he was running from God. At first, they try to avoid the most drastic thing, so they throw all some of the equipment off the boat and some of the supplies off the boat. But finally, they felt we have no choice left. So they throw Jonah overboard. They throw him into the water, into the sea. And what did the sea do? It stopped. It settled down. They solved their problem. Well, I want you to understand something. Did you know that so many times we see God in the atmosphere, but did you know He's in the water? You see how we His spirit, so He must be floating in the air because spirit can't be in water. God is in the water. That's why when Jesus speaks to the storm, says, "Peace, be still," it has to be still because God is there. Then God sends this big fish to swallow up Jonah. Swallows Jonah. He's in the belly of a fish, and even under the water, inside of a fish, God is there. God is everywhere. Now, after a time in that fish, we'll call it an awakening that Jonah had, or his repentance that he had. God calls the fish then to spit Jonah up onto the shore. And you need to understand, no matter where Jonah was, God was there. The truth is, I could tell the story of Moses. I could tell the story of Abraham and David and Elijah. And any of the saints of old, and their testimony would be exactly the same. God was there. That's why Abraham on the mountain says, "Jehovah Jireh, my provider." God is there. All of these of the Old Testament, they've always found that God is present in every place and every circumstance. There's an old chorus that we used to sing. It goes, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. Do you know why we used to sing songs like that? To remind us that God is here. We sang it this morning in the song. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. We need to always remind ourselves, God is here. We need to know that God is with us. When we worship, it's not about whether God is here or not. It's about whether we recognize that He's here. He's here. That's why we quote this scripture, like God shows up when two or three gather in His name. It's usually when two or three get together and begin to talk about God, we all of a sudden acknowledge He's here. It isn't that He just showed up. It's when two or three begin to talk about God, we begin to recognize that God wants to move. God wants to be there. You need whether you're in a hospital room or a funeral home or in the darkness or in a jail or your place of employment, a locker room, a classroom, the mission field, or the privacy of your own home, God is there. You need to know you are not alone. You need to realize, and I realize it's quite possible in this room today, even in the midst of all these people, that somebody feels desperately alone. You feel like no one notices you. No one really sees me. You show up, you wave, you smile, but you still feel alone. Listen, I want you to hold on to God's omnipresence. You are not alone. God is by your side. So you're not alone. Number two, you no longer need to be afraid. If God is omnipresent, you do not need to be afraid. The knowledge of God's omnipresence not only means you're not alone, you don't have to have fear. No matter what you're facing, you face it with God with you. Now, growing up, I always enjoyed going places with my dad, and he would take me to work with him at times, and I loved to do those things with my dad, and it didn't matter where we went, I knew I was always protected. My dad's a strong man. It never once occurred to me to be fearful because my dad was there. Dad's going to take care of everything. In fact, I remember going to work with him one time. And we were on our way home. It had gotten dark, and there was a car in the middle of the road in front of us. And all of a sudden, we noticed the brake lights were on. And the next thing me and my dad remember, and we talked about it later, all we remember is there was a stop sign in front of the car. And the next thing we knew, we were back on the road traveling. God was with us. We knew we were off the road. We know that. We don't even know how we got back on. But not just my dad, but my daddy in heaven took care of us. He was there. I remember a trip. We went out to San Francisco and California one year. I was 10 years old, and we were in the mountains, and all of a sudden, my older brother, 17 at that point, was driving. And we were going around one of the mountain curves, and I remember being in the back seat and looking, and all of a sudden, as we're going around, there was a car in our lane passing another car. And you got a 17-year-old boy behind the wheel. All we know is the next thing we knew, we were on the other side, all safe and secure. God is present, and I don't want to ever forget that my daddy is with me. He's my strength. He watches over us. And so many times we can get past those experiences and think, God, where are you? He is ever present. And I don't want to forget it. Our biggest struggle, though, is that we have a lot of problems in our life that the human factor doesn't help, but the God factor comes into every circumstance because He's there. In those situations, we need to know the Lord is by our side. If we will trust Him, if we'll rely on Him, our fear can be removed because He is strong. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God. If we will rely on Him, our Heavenly Father, remember, He's with you. You don't need to be fearful. You don't need to be afraid. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect what? Love drives out fear. God is love. We just learned that a few verses earlier. And now He's telling us this love, this God, He drives away the fear. You remember what King David wrote when he was a little shepherd boy? He writes, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Read it with me. For are with me. There's nothing to fear. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. David was able to focus on God because God was with him. His power, His ability, His presence was there. There's no reason to be afraid. If you will consciously place yourself in the hands and the arms of God, you will find the greatest measure of deliverance from fear when you remind yourself, the Lord is with me. In those times of fear, sometimes I need to encourage myself, and I find myself saying things like, Lord, you know how I feel. You know the fear that's there, but I know you are with me. Take me by the hand. Lead me. Get me out of this. Maybe you could quote scripture like perfect love, cast out all fear. Maybe you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Encourage yourself in the Lord. He's there. And then I believe you'll find yourself at ease knowing God is with you. So, number one, you're not alone. Number two, you no longer need to be afraid. Number three, you will live with a new sense of accountability. If God is present everywhere, then we are living every moment before the face of God. That means everything we do is done in the presence of God. If we can remember this fact that God is with us, this attribute of God, it would impact the way we live. In fact, it might impact some of the things you choose to do. If you want to keep away from sin, is that your desire? Remember that you cannot escape the presence of God. I never want you to live as though God does not exist. I need you to practice the presence of God. Practice the presence of God at all times. Remember that everything you say, do, or even think is said, done, and thought in the presence of a holy God. He is there. If we live our lives without that intense awareness of an omnipresence of God, we will create one deception after another. We will start to think, no one knows that I twisted the truth. No one knows that I stole that. No one knows what I'm thinking in my private life. If we do not realize that God is there, we will change the way we think, we act, and what we do. God is ever present. We need to recognize He's with us. If we do, it will help us. Listen, God doesn't hover over our lives to accuse us. The accuser of the brethren is Satan. God is near us because He loves us. He is present because it is His attribute to be present. He is an ever-present help. He doesn't desire to accuse you or condemn you. Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. He's present to help us. Proverbs 15, verse 3 says, the eyes of the Lord are what? Everywhere. Keeping watch on the wicked and the good. Did you know our loving Father is watching over us? Listen to Psalm 121, verse 3. listen, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. God is for you, not against you. God is watchful over us to help us. He doesn't want you to slip up. He doesn't want you to fall. He just wants you to know he's there. And when we remember that he's with us, it helps us. Listen, the biggest criticism of the church today and throughout the years has been they're a bunch of hypocrites. They act one way on Sunday, and then the rest of the week they're somebody different. And sometimes I know that is true. But one of the reasons it's true is because people seem to think that God only pays attention to them when they're in church. That is a faulty theology. God is omnipresent. It is a misunderstanding to think that God is only here when we gather together, that somehow he floats in here as a spirit when we show up. God lives in us. Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? He is with us at all times. If we would live with that true sense of God's omnipresence, we would live life a lot more honest. Our lives would become more consistent and have a lot more accountability. Amen? The person we are when no one is looking should be the same person when everybody is looking. Listen, I know we're going to still make mistakes. We're sinners. What, do we need to go through Romans again? There will be times that we make foolish choices. But listen to this. When we know that God is with us, we can quickly confess our sin rather than cover it up. We can come clean rather than carry the guilt of what we think we are hiding. Remember, God's for you, not against you. He's with you in everything you do. Let's strive to live our lives to honor God at all times. I want you to live your life for an audience of one. You can forget the audience around you, because they don't matter. There's only one, and he's present everywhere. Let me recap. Number one, you're not alone. Two, you no longer need to be afraid. Number three, you will live with a new sense of accountability. You understand that now? And fourth, you don't have to find God. So where's he going with that one? We live in a world that tells us you need to find God. And some people, you'll never find God. And it's easy, though, to get this idea that God's hard to find. But he's not. God does not need to be found. He needs to be received. It's a huge difference. God has gone to great lengths to make himself known to us. He was the initiator. He has given us his word so we could know him. He has given us his son so he could save us. God has sent his spirit into the world to draw us unto himself. God is not hiding. He is seeking for you. If anyone's hiding, it's us. It's like Adam and Eve. After they sinned, they went and they hid themselves. And we try to do the same thing, but you can't hide from God. God calls out to you, just like he did to Adam. It says, "Where are you?" It's not God to be found, it's you. You're the one that's lost. You're the one that's unaware. And God is seeking you. He is pursuing you. He knows you. And he knows the sin that you're ashamed of. And that's why he sent Jesus to die on a cross. He went there because God wanted to make it possible to have an intimate relationship with you. Jesus paid for your sin. so you could know God. You want to know God? You don't have to search for Him. Receive Him. We don't find God by running faster or working harder. We find God when we stop and we invite Him to be Lord of our lives. Take control. Jesus, be Savior. Be Master. Be my friend. I know some of you today would like to probably find God. Perhaps you feel you're at the end of your rope. Things are just coming to a close. You feel there's nowhere else to turn. I want you to know this morning, God is not hiding from you. He is waiting for you to stop trying to do it on your own and just trust Him and recognize He is there. His arms are open. All we have to do is acknowledge that you're present. You are here. This morning, I close with this. I have two thoughts. The first one is, we all need to know Him. Today, I do not want you to leave this place and not know Him. So I'm going to foretell you what's going to happen here in the next moment. Because I'm going to ask us in a moment to bow our heads. And I'm going to ask you, maybe you've fallen away, maybe you slipped away, maybe you've forgotten He's there. Maybe you've never known Him, and today you want to receive Him. You want to accept His presence, not just around you, but now in you. But I'm going to tell you, one of two choices are going to be made. One choice will be to receive Him. The other choice will be to reject Him. That's the only two choices you got. That's it, church. As you sit here today, you're going to make one of those choices, to receive or to reject. You say, that's awful strong. That's the word. People go to heaven because they receive Him. People go to hell because they reject Him. So today, I lay the question before you. Do you know He's there? And have you received Him? Would you bow your heads? Whether you're in the balcony or the main floor, this morning, it is your choice to receive or to reject. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm ready to. Listen, He stands ready at any moment. But could I encourage you, don't leave today without making that decision. Because the Bible says you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you. Receive Him. Let Him be your Savior. Quit running. Quit trying to do it on your own. He's there. He's calling out to you. You can hear Him in your heart right now. I love you. I want to be with you. I want to help you. The enemy is lying to you. So you don't need Him. You can do it. You can make it on your own. Oh, all that's just stuff is just garbage. It don't mean anything. I'm telling you today, church, it means a lot. It means eternity. In the balcony or main floor, if you're ready to receive the Lord today, maybe you've backslidden, maybe you've just fallen away, maybe your first time, but I'm going to ask you quickly, raise your hands, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to receive Him today. Right now, anybody in this place, in the balcony or main floor, receive or reject. Yes. Yes, I see that. Any other hands today? Don't miss out. Don't be ashamed. Amen. There's one today we're going to pray with. I want everybody to pray with me this morning. You ready? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come on. I come to you this morning.
Come to you this morning.
And I need your forgiveness.
I need your forgiveness.
In my life.
In my life.
I desire to know you.
I desire to know you.
I want to follow you.
I want to follow
I you. I receive you.
I receive you.
As an ever-present help.
As an ever-present
in
help.
In my life.
My life.
I trust you.
I trust you.
To be my Savior.
To be my Savior.
Lead me.
Lead me.
From this day forward.
this day forward.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We celebrate what God is doing in your life. Hallelujah. If there's anyone who did not make that decision today, listen, I love you, but I love you enough to be tough with you. If you walk out that door today, you're walking over the cross as though it means nothing. I'm asking God. I want him to hound you the rest of your days. Sniff you out. I don't want you to miss out. He's there. All you got to do is call upon his name and you will be saved. Like this one who gave their heart today. I receive. He's here. The rest of you this morning, there's another thing we need because God's here. We need help. We need strength. We need direction in our life. Let me read two passages as I close. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and strength. And we sang it, and we read it, and ever-present help in trouble. Listen to Isaiah 41, 10, where he says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God wants to help us. God wants to give us direction. God wants to give us strength. But church, you've got to walk out. You're not, when you leave this place, you're not leaving the presence of God. You're carrying the presence of God. You got to get that mindset that wherever I am, God is there. It's why we stop, we pray, we encourage, we strengthen, we smile. I don't want to be called a hypocrite. I want today to be the same tomorrow. My God hasn't changed. On Tuesday, it's the same because God is there. Why would I open his word on Sunday and not on Monday? What am I going to do on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday? I know you're going to get tired. And you're going to need strength to get to next Sunday. But he's there. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is your help. This week, when it seems to get tough, you remember, God, you are all there. You're omnipresent. You're universally, wherever I am, you are present. And the key is not that he knows that, is that you know that. You're born again, and we're getting to know God. You get it? That's really my theme throughout this summer, to know God. Do you really know he's there? And he wants to help you. Amen? Heavenly Father, strengthen us. Help us. Lord, I pray for this one who gave their heart today. I pray, Lord, that when the enemy comes in, Lord, like a standard, you'll raise up a flood against the enemy and help them. Lord, you're for us, not against us. God, help us to recognize, Lord, you already know your attribute. Help us to know it. Because not only are we born again, Lord, now, we want to really know you. In Jesus' name, amen. You want to know him? You want to know him in all of his power and all of his might? Then first of all, recognize he's everywhere. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you, keep you, make his face to shine upon you, give you peace, strength, help, and wholeness in the name of Jesus. You have a Jesus filled week. God bless you.